Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out and fire up your grill or smoker in your backyard. And yes, if you got to shovel a little snow off your deck, that's okay, because a true grilling guy never stops grilling. It's a year-round thing. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us, and thanks for creeping everybody out, Jop. That was a nice greeting you put out there for everybody.
I'm just trying to mimic the guy that does our intro.
Well, there. No. Hey. The producer, Brian Fongers, just ran out of the studio, so you might want to run down the hall and get him back. He's scaring everybody. Nah, just kidding. Thanks for joining us. It is the weekend, so we're here to torture everyone with tantalizing tips of tastiness and maybe something good to drink and some fun on your deck. Yeah. Fun at the deer camp, fun at the ice fishing hole. Wherever you're going to be at, you're just going to be able to maybe expand your game just a little bit because of a couple knuckleheads who got you up in the morning.
Yeah, this week, right after the show last week, rather, I shout out to the stump capital of Michigan. That would be Truefant, which is kind of in the center of the state, and parked my butt on a bucket from about 10 in the morning till dark.
So you had bucket butt by the end of the day.
I did, man. My lower back was killing me by the time it was done. But I put in a day of ice fishing.
You need that nice chair I got at Allen Bob's. Well, that would be really good.
That would have been better, but then I'd probably have a hard time getting out of it. You know, you can just kind of stand up. But anyway, had a couple buddies that invited me out to go with them. And
what'd you catch?
Well, we caught a bunch of bluegills. But the real story was, is I was sitting out there. And, you know, it was pretty nice when I got there. And by noon, the wind was blowing about 25 miles an hour, and it was about 15 degrees. You're constantly skimming the hole. So we broke down and put up the shanty. Oh, my, what a difference. And I'm not a big shanty guy because it makes you fish in one spot, right? You set the thing up. But they were biting pretty much anywhere we were. And, man, got in there, took the jacket off, had this little heater going on. This guy had an 11 by 11 foot pop-up shanty. It was like a little condo on the ice. Boy, it got all warm in there, and we caught fish and maybe threw a beer can at each other once in a while, and had a little hot dam. So just a really good afternoon fishing, and had myself some jerky and meat sticks from our friends at Sobey Meats, and those were popular with the guys too. While I was outside, they froze solid, but when I got in the shanty, they warmed up and they were pretty good eating. But that's what I did last weekend. What about you, man?
Well, I have a fair amount of venison and a fair amount of ground beef. I got a beautiful grass-fed black Angus from through one of our listeners and friends, Dan Hula. And I have a lot of that left in the freezer and a whole bunch of ground venison because I just find that, you know, I plan on getting two deer this year, so I wanted a bunch of burger. So I've got steaks and burger. That's all I've got. I got no jerky meat this year. So I thought, okay, I'm going to make a little sausage.
Oh, really?
So I got a couple of synthetic casings from Sobey Meats quite a while ago. I didn't know how long they'd last. They last virtually forever because they're dry when you get them.
Right.
And I took about, I think, 3 packs of ground venison and 1.5 pound pack of that ground beef, and I thawed them, mixed them together, and I mixed them up with some, I put mustard seed, some coarse ground black pepper, and sea salt, celery salt, garlic powder, and onion powder, and a little bit of thyme.
So you used your salts for kind of a cure?
They're the cure, sea salt and celery salt create a natural cure. And then I mixed them all together, and I ran them through. I got a cool attachment for my wife's big tabletop mixer. Yeah.
I think and I bought you that attachment.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
No, well, I bought it for your wife. I didn't buy it for you. But yeah.
Well, so I finally got to use the stuffer on it.
Right.
Worked really nice.
Cool.
Yeah, good. So much easier.
KitchenAid deal, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Great big monster. And so I put all that stuff through there, and it just shot it right into the tube beautifully. And I wish I would have done more.
How big a diameter casing did you have?
It's the big, the synthetic.
Like 3-inch one?
Yeah, maybe. 2.5s, I think they are. And then I tied them up, and I laid them on the rack of my Cajun, and a nice low, it was really cold out, so I did a nice low, slow smoke with some of that apple you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what'd you bring those to internal temperature? How'd you know when they were done?
Well, that's a trick, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it's ground meat. I think I brought them up to when they were sweated out really good. I think they were somewhere around 180, if I'm not mistaken. A little higher than maybe I had to, but it was my first crack. I didn't want to take any chances.
Right.
So they're not overcooked. They're gorgeous.
And when you said sweated out, what's that look like?
Well, you can tell when the meat's really getting cooked because the wrapper is swelling up, and then when you pull one off, it immediately starts shrinking.
Right.
So you've reduced your fats and cooked your meat. And I only probed them like one time, and they were like maybe 175, 180, I think,
right,
were the two different temps because it was only two casings.
Yeah.
And wow. How cool is that?
Yeah, making anybody your own summer sausage,
anybody can do it. It's too easy. And Sobey Meats in Grand Rapids, Michigan, sells the whole kit if you want. You can get the packet with the mix, and he's got all the casings, whatever kind of casings you want, if you want the small ones, the mediums, or the large synthetics. I simply wanted the large synthetics because I wanted summer sausage.
Well, yeah, and the key to what you just said, though, is that the stuffing apparatus itself, whether you got one that goes on a mixer or they make hand ones that you can crank it out.
You could
whatever.
Literally, with these big casings, you could literally do it with a soup spoon.
Right.
You could take it in and just pack it in by hand.
And then twist it on the top to tighten it down.
Yep.
And
tie it off.
Right. Tie it off. Sure. Now, I've done that in the smoker where I took on the good one, the big trailer smoker that I have, I took the bottom three racks out and tied those sausages from the top rack, the grating, just ran the strings through and tied them off and let them hang there while they cooked. Now, I'll tell you that on that, the ones that were closer to the heat source, because I did like a dozen of them, the ones that were closer to the heat source got done a long time before the ones that were further away from the heat source. So you got to watch that. When you're only doing one or two on your Cajun,
and they were on the end. Right. That reminds me, you know, I do believe I have a whole set of racks for that smoker too. So next time you want to do that, let's tear my shed apart, because somewhere in there are some fabricated racks that a fella made.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you can hang them. Yeah. I don't know how big a deal it is to hang them anyway. I mean, honestly, these turned out so beautiful. All you get's a little bit of a grate mark on the bottom, but...
Right.
I'm,
it's a great mark, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So anyway, the rest of the show, we're going to be heading down south to a little Mississippi barbecue. We've got three guests over the next three segments that all are experts in their particular discipline. And one of them is a guy named Mark Lambert. You've heard him on the show before. Sweet Swine O' Mine. Little place called Spoonie's Barbecue. You're not going to want to miss this guy. And we also got a guy named Pat Davis from Abe's Barbecue in Clarksville, Mississippi, not Clarksville, Michigan. But these guys are going to break it down for you and give you a little bit of what makes this Southern Mississippi barbecue just a little bit different, right,
Yeah,
Bob?
That's right. And Pat Davis, I think you're gonna have some pretty cool – actually, all three of them have a lot of really cool stuff. But we're really in Mississippi, but we're focusing on Delta Country. Because that tends to be, I don't know, I guess my opinion of Mississippi barbecue, because it flows down out of Memphis, and they tend to have some really cool profiles up there.
You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.